Many times the Buddha highlighted that in terms of Dhamma practice, right view comes first. It's the first item in the list of the Eightfold Path, and the quality to establish, to inform all others. He also gave the analogy like the lightening of the sky at dawn is the forerunner of the rising of the sun. So too, right view is the forerunner, that which heralds the arising of all wholesome states, or peace, or freedom, or happiness. So at the beginning of a period of formal practice, formal retreat time, it's useful to bring attention to this quality of right view, samadhiti. This doesn't just mean having opinions that match the Buddha's teachings or the kind of agreed ideas of people around us, but rather it's a way of seeing. The samma of right of samadhiti, the right of right view. That rightness doesn't just mean right as opposed to wrong, but it's more related to right as in upright. That which is balanced, integrated, attuned. So maybe the better term is the attuned view, seeing things in tune with reality, with nature. The habit of mind is to see things in terms of self-view, sakkaya ditti. What I like, what I don't like, what I'm planning to do, what I'm afraid of, what I did in the past, what I'm proud of, what I regret, what I hope to do, what I'm afraid of in the future. The thinking mind, the habits of mind easily create the world in terms of me, mine, my past, my future, my body, my life, my feelings. This is natural enough, but not everything that's natural is supportive of liberation. Establishing right view, seeing things in a clear way. This is what we call vijja, awakened awareness, a clear seeing, clear knowing. Its opposite is avijja, or ignorance, not seeing clearly. Oh, in this moment, to establish that quality of vijja, it's to recognize that here is the experience of hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, arising and passing in the field of awareness. Every one of us, each of these minds is working in exactly the same way. A field of perceptions, thoughts, mental formations, arises moment by moment, takes its shape, dissolves in an unbroken fluid stream. If we start from the position of I'm a person who's practicing meditation, or I'm a person with a lot of problems, I've got to get rid of my problems and then I'll be a person without problems and that'll be good. Or as Lumpur Sumedho would usually say, if we start out from the position of thinking I'm an unenlightened person who's got to do something now to become enlightened in the future, then we're starting out from ignorance, from not seeing clearly. We're starting from a position of me as an independent person who genuinely has these problems or is genuinely doing this thing. So to establish right view, this quality of clear seeing, it's helpful to challenge that, to not start from that position of I'm an unenlightened person or me and my problems, but rather here is the awake mind knowing the field of experience, seeing the way things are, feeling the sensations of the body, hearing the sounds of my voice or the machines of the construction, building going on in the nun's area, the sound of birds in the trees around us, perceptions arise, pass away. There's the knowing quality, this puru, the awake, aware attribute of the heart. The Buddha mind, the awake mind, seeing the way things are. To establish that as the ground, this is the actuality of what's being known in this moment. Here's awareness, knowing the flow of perception. Doesn't have to be cast into the form of me as a person. I am this individual. Rather, there's the knowing and the flow of perceptions and thoughts, emotions coming and going and changing. If the beginning point is this quality of vicha, if you start off with vicha, this leads directly to peace, to freedom, to happiness. You start off with avijja, with I'm an unenlightened person, or I've got to work on my practice to get somewhere. I've got to get rid of my defilements and become enlightened. We start out with the I am as the presumption, then that necessarily leads to alienation, to frustration, dissatisfaction, dukkha. Oh, we can't just will a change of perspective into being. You can't just decide to stop a habit and make it stop. But we can get to know what those habits are. We can get to see, to feel that sense of I am this person, I do feel, I am doing, this is me. We can get to know that feeling, that self-creating habit. Feel it, know it, and challenge it. To question that. Is that so? Is that the whole story? Is this really a me who's the meditator, a me who's the experiencer, an I who is the owner of these feelings, an I who is hearing these sounds, an I who is knowing these sensations? Is that so? Is that the real story? Is that the whole picture? So the beginning of a period of formal retreat of this nature, and that kind of challenging of habits is a very good place to begin. To challenge, to question the presumptions that the mind makes, the usual way of seeing, the habits, to question, to challenge. And in that moment of challenge, when that is explored, we bring up a reflection like, not me and my problems, but the Buddha seeing the Dhamma, the awake mind seeing the way things are. Even if it's just for a moment, there's a shift of view that, oh, even if it's just for half a second, quarter of a second, notice that change of view, that, oh, how in that moment there's a different way of seeing things, a habit is challenged. It loses its power. Notice that. Feel that. Even if it's just for a short period of time, just a moment. Bring attention to that quality of understanding in that brief moment where the self-creating habit falls away, where it's just the mind, the heart, aware of the field of experience in this moment. What qualities does that have? When that grasping stops, what's present? You can look, explore, know directly. When the grasping stops, there's simplicity, clarity, peacefulness, and no sense of self. In that moment, it falls away. It's seen through as transparent, empty. The essence of the Four Noble Truths is essentially this. Noticing that tensing of the heart, that stressing, that grasping around what we think, what we feel, what we hear, what we remember, what we see or smell or taste or touch. Noticing that tensing, seeing that there is a stressing in the heart, trying to hold on to what we like, resenting what we dislike. Waiting for the painful to be over, resenting intrusion, resenting the unwanted, hoping for the wanted. Essentially, the Four Noble Truths revolves around recognizing that quality of dukkha, recognizing it's not the sound of the machine that is annoying, it's the mind that relates to it with irritation. That's where the annoyance comes from. As Lumpur Cha would say, it's not the sound annoying you, it's you annoying the sound. So dukkha, quality of dissatisfaction, wrongness, it is needed to be appreciated, apprehended. To recognize, oh, here is the heart creating the attitude of, it shouldn't be this way, this doesn't belong, when's this going to be over? Dukkha needs to be apprehended, parinyayanti. So there's a deliberate taking the attention off the object, the pain in our legs or the sound of the machine or whatever the mind is stressing over. Turn the attention around 180 degrees to say, oh, this is what the heart, the mind is doing with this perception. It's adding on the feeling of wrongness. Shouldn't be this way. Doesn't belong. This is what it means to say dukkha needs to be understood, to be apprehended. Parinyayanti. Here is dukkha. Here is the mind creating wrongness. And its source is that tanha, that craving, wanting things to be different than the way they are. Self-centered craving. The way to relate to that is pahata bhanti, let go. To relax the heart, to relax that creation of wrongness, to open the heart to the fact that in this moment, it's exactly this way. The patterns of perception are this way. And when that letting go has happened, when the grasping has stopped, then there's peace, dukkha nirodha. A dukkha nirodha needs to be realized, Sachikata Bhanti. So when that relaxation of the heart happens, then we need to notice that quality of peace, to really imbibe that, know that directly. Here is the natural state of the heart, free of grasping. Peace. Bhavanirodho Nibbanam. Nibbana is the cessation of becoming. When the grasping stops, there's peace. But it needs to be recognized, realized, fully imbibed, fully appreciated. Otherwise we miss it. The attention goes to the next irritating thing or the next desirable or worrying thing. Peace needs to be noticed. And then the path, Magga, the Eightfold Path, needs to be cultivated. So, recognizing how this principle of letting go and realization of peace occurs, and there's then the encouragement, the need to actualize that in every dimension of our being. All the areas of the Eightfold Path, in terms of our attitudes, our intentions, our speech, our action, our work, the way we train the mind in meditation. To act from a place of non-grasping, free of self-view. So that effort is made, direction is given to the meditation, but it's not me trying to get somewhere, not me trying to get rid of defilements or me trying to get concentrated, but coming from that place of awareness, of vicha, and letting choices directing towards concentration and focus be guided by mindfulness and wisdom rather than me wanting to get some result. So effort is made, direction is given, a path is followed, but the more that's coming from a place of wisdom, of vicha, then the more that effort will lead to peace. If effort is guided by self-view, by what I've got to get rid of, what I've got to become, then necessarily the result will be tense, stressed, burdened. Meditation will be a chore. So at the beginning of this retreat time, this period of a week of formal practice, do the best that is possible to get a feeling for how effort can be made, guided by mindfulness and wisdom, guided by vicha, rather than self-view. See what the results are. The more that these efforts are made based on satipanya, mindfulness and wisdom, see for yourself how that leads to peace, to clarity, to freedom. And when old habits take over, and the effort is being made from me, I've got to get rid of this, I've got to become that, again, see what the results of acting on self-view are. And the practice is driven by me and mine. What I want, what I've got to get rid of. See the stressfulness, the limitation of the results that come from that. Let that painfulness teach us. Be guided by that.